as I was on a just on my prayer walk this morning, I noticed a field of mud, and when I took a second look, it wasn't just a field of mud. If you looked in the furrows, there were little sprouts of grain coming up. You had to look twice, but you could see it. And when I saw the sprouts of grain coming up in the furrows, this is what came to me. In no time at all, that's going to spring up into a mighty harvest. And I feel like that's where Zion is at right now. I believe that we are on the front end of a new harvest. The farmers have an expression, I understand, that goes something like this: strong winter, strong harvest. We've had some winters in the body of Christ and at Zion, but I believe it's a season of new harvest, and that means all hands on deck. Everyone is going to be needed in the days that are in front of us. Lord Jesus, give us this harvest, we ask. May there be a mighty harvest that would touch the entire region. Lord, would you deploy those harvesting angels, as Dave Mount shared with me this morning. He saw the angels going to the communities surrounding. Lord, we ask that a mighty harvest would come forth in the cities and the communities of Ontario County and all the surrounding counties. In Jesus' name we pray. And we also ask, Lord, for a mighty grace upon the ministry of the word today. Would you empower these weak lips, Lord, and would you empower every one of us to hear what the Spirit says to us today? Can I get an amen on that one? I think I know what was Jesus' most common teaching. I'm going to give you the biblical evidence for it in a moment. What I'm about to say, I can't absolutely prove it, but I think I know the teaching that he gave most frequently. We know that when Jesus taught, he would give his teachings more than just once throughout his 3.5-year time of ministry. If I could tell you the teaching that he gave most frequently when he was on earth, how many folks here would consider that to be something to pay attention to? The thing that put me onto it, I was doing a word study. I was searching for a certain verse, and on my computer search, and when the search came up, it gave me verses in all four Gospels, and it stopped me in my tracks, because you find very little that is present in all four Gospels. There's only four stories that occur in all four Gospels. There's only three predictions that occur in all four Gospels, and there's only, get it, only one teaching of Christ that is present in all four Gospels. Now, the reason there's so little overlap between all four is because of John. John is writing his Gospel about 30 years after the other three, and he knows what they have written. And he's not trying to be repetitive, he's trying to be complimentary. So there's very little in the Gospel of John that you will find in all four Gospels. But I found one teaching of Christ present in all four Gospels. Only one. And it's one verse. If you were the Holy Spirit and you were going to put one teaching of Christ into all four Gospels, which one would you choose? I'm just trying to get you curious right now. Is it working? If I give you the most common teaching Jesus ever gave, do you think you'd want to obey it? Okay, here it comes. Now, he gave it on four different occasions. Six mentions in the Gospels, four different occasions. No other teaching has this kind of emphasis. That's why I think it's his most common teaching. It's the teaching that he gave most frequently as it's recorded in the Gospels. Are you ready, Big John? Save your life, you'll lose it. Lose your life, you'll find it. I'd like to just look quickly at the four places where Jesus spoke this message. Matthew 10, he is addressing, if we can have it on the screen, Matthew 10. Here it comes. Okay, there we are. In the context of this passage, it's verse 39. And in this context, Jesus is addressing family relationships. Now, loyalty to family is very important. But Jesus is saying in this passage, if you come to a place where you have to decide between loyalty to family and loyalty to me, if you choose family over me, you're not worthy of me. If you try to preserve your life by preserving your family connections over loyalty to Jesus Christ, you will lose your life. The second place where Jesus addressed it, he has just talked about the fact that he's going to have to be crucified and die and be buried and resurrected. And it's in the context of telling them of his upcoming crucifixion that he says in verse 39, the most common message that he delivered while on earth. And the message is the same for us. If we are going to find our lives, we'll need to take up our cross, die to self, and follow him. Now, it's not that Jesus wants you miserable. He actually wants you living an abundant life. And he is saying to us, the path to an abundant life is counterintuitive. The world says, lose your life, you'll lose your life. Jesus says, lose your life, you'll find it. And he wants us to find our lives in him. The third instance is he's speaking of the end times, and he mentions Lot's wife, and then in verse 33, he gives again the statement that we're referencing right now. And in the context, he's dealing, okay, let's get our next passage. It's Luke 17 passage. Do we have the next one? There it is. And in this passage, he's dealing with how we relate to material possessions. Before, how we relate to family. Now, how we relate to material, to finances, to stuff. And he says, If we so find our lives in our stuff, in what we possess, it's possible, beloved, now hear it as a warning, it's possible when Jesus comes back for his bride, if stuff has a place in our hearts, we find ourselves actually not wanting to let go of our stuff. Here comes Jesus in the sky, and we're going, where's my iPhone? Let's not allow anything to find a place in our hearts, because if you try to find your life in the possessions of life, you will actually lose it. And the fourth one is in John 12. Now, John is going to use a little bit of a different wording. He's going to say it this way in verse 25. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. So the message of Jesus is, lose your life, hate your life, and you will find it for eternal life. And the fact that Jesus spoke this word in four separate occasions tells me it's a message for all of life. The more you walk with the Lord in this verse, you're going to find it relevant to every part of life. I'm promising you, this verse is relevant to every person in this house today. Hate your life, and you will keep it for eternal life. And when we come to the cross of Jesus Christ, which is what I want to do this morning, when we come to the cross, we are looking at a man who practiced what he preached. He laid down his life that he might find it again. The cross is the emblem of our faith. I love that we have a cross behind me this morning. I'm speaking on the cross. I believe the cross is the emblem of our faith. Someone might think, well, I think the open tomb is the emblem of our faith. And actually, I don't agree with that. I think the cross is the emblem of our faith. And here's why. The distinctive of our faith is not that God is alive. Many religions believe that. The distinctive of our faith is that God died. The idea is so scandalous, no human being came up with this idea. It was an idea that came to us from heaven. What other religion brags on the death of its leader? Today, I make my boast in the cross of Jesus Christ. I stand before you today and say, the blood is my banner, the wounds are my boast, and the shame is my glory. There are some today who are slow to talk about the cross. They say, let's not talk about it so much. Let's not talk about the wounds and the blood and the horror and the gore and the torment, because now here's their concern. They say, if we talk about those things, we're going to repel seekers. But Jesus didn't seem to see it like that. Jesus said, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. The cross has a gravity all its own. You don't need to defend the cross. You just exalt the cross, and the cross will draw people to Jesus Christ. When you see the cross in its fullness and reality, it dominates your horizon. It fills your screen. It is the white elephant in the room. It's gripping. It's It's arresting. It's unavoidable. It's inescapable. When you truly see the cross, you can't get past it. You can't just go on with your day. It brings you to a full stop. You can't get past the contorted nakedness. You can't get past the sound of the gasping lungs. You can't get past the fire in his eyes. You can't get past the flame in his heart. You're apprehended by the extravagance and the extremity of the spectacle before you. Beloved, you can't dismiss the cross. When you are confronted with the cross, you must judge the cross. And you must decide, either it's the greatest hoax of human history, or it is something altogether worth dying for. You be the judge. Nails in his hands, nails in his feet, a crown of thorns on his brow, lacerations on his back. This is the gospel that we have for this planet in this hour. Look at his cross today, and you be the judge. We had a pretty nice religion there for a while, until the cross came along. Cross came through and changed everything. It ripped the innards out. It came through like a tsunami, and it swept the place clean of propriety and dignity and modesty. Now you can't even have your clothes. The cross came through like a violent torrent of love, a dangerous, all-consuming current that demands everything. When the love of God caught hold of Jesus' legs, it caught his legs and carried him off his feet and took him to his death. And if that same torrential current of holy divine love gets hold of your legs, it'll sweep you off your feet too, and it'll carry you up to your death as well. But losing your life, you'll find it. The cross is Jesus saying, this is how much I love you. It's the most articulate way to say, I love you. You know, Jesus didn't go around, when you read the Gospels, he didn't go around saying to people, I love you, I love you, I love you. It really wasn't in his vocabulary, because he wasn't interested in going around and mouthing the words to people. He was interested in going around and demonstrating the love of God to people. So I'm like this. Let's not go around telling the world we love them. Let's go around showing the world that we love them. And what a love we see when we come to the cross. I denied him. I betrayed him. I tried him. I delivered him to Pilate. I scourged him. I beat him. I spat on him. I crowned him with thorns. I pounded nails in his hands and his feet. I mocked him. And then I thrust a spear through him. And here's what he gave me in return. He changed my name, put a ring on my finger, pulled me close to his heart, and gave me the family fortune. What kind of a love is this? Jesus created the human body for crucifixion. I can imagine that creation, the Father speaking to the Son and saying, Son, are you sure you want to put all those nerve endings in the hands like that? That's where they're going to put the nails. I imagine the Father saying to the Son, Son, are you sure you want to put all those nerve endings in the feet like that? That's where they're going to put the nails. And I imagine the Son replying to the Father, Yes, Abba, I know. I want to feel their sorrows at the depths of my being. Beloved, there is no one that has suffered like God. There is no one that can look at the cross and say to God, but you don't get me. But you don't get my pain. But you don't understand my world. Beloved, the cross went lower than the lowest human specimen and has now reached below the entire human race and lifts us up in the grace of God into the very bosom of Abba Father. The greatest honor in David's life was not that he wrote all these psalms. The greatest honor in David's life was not that he was king of Israel. The greatest honor in David's life was not that he was given an eternal throne. The greatest honor in David's life was being quoted three times on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? I thirst. Into your hands I commit my spirit. And when Jesus was looking for vocabulary to express the agony of his soul, he went back to David and he said, David wrote it the way I feel it right now. Let me ask you a question. What kind of a journey would you have to walk in order to write the kind of thing that Jesus would want to quote? And David's like, how do I process this cup? How do I process with the pain in my life? What do I do with this? David, I don't think you quite understand. You are going to have an intimacy with your beloved Redeemer, such as you probably don't even realize. One day, he's going to quote you three times on that cross. Beloved, the cup of suffering is sometimes for us an invitation into the sweetest intimacy and communion with our beloved, the very thing that most of us in this room are laboring to avoid is the very thing that sometimes becomes the threshold to an entire new vista of intimacy with our beloved Savior. No angel gets across. That's an honor too high for angels. No angel gets a cross, and no angel gets a resurrection. You get both. The cross, it's the ultimate display of loyalty. When you're looking at the cross of Jesus Christ, you are looking at a man who being forsaken of his Father, stands on the nail, spreads his arms, and says, I love you anyways. If you take my life, if you kill me, I love you. And the cross is the ultimate act of loyalty in the universe. And the Father, looking at the loyalty of his Son on the cross, says in his heart, I will never forget this. Because, beloved, when someone's loyal to you, you never forget. And the Father to the Son, I will never forget this. Therefore, God all also has highly exalted him and given him a name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things on earth and things under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And the same thing is true of you. When you put your loyalty on the cross of Jesus Christ, something happens in the heart of your beloved Savior. He's like, you had sin against you. You had your flesh against you. You had the world against you. You had all of hell against you. You had circumstances against you. You even had people in your family against you. Everything seemed to be against you, but you reached up in the middle of all that warfare. You reached a feeble hand through the muck and the mire of your warfare, and you said, I choose the cross of Jesus Christ. And Jesus now says to you, I will never forget this. And he says to you, I will raise you up on the last day. I call on every preacher hearing my words to put the cross back in the center of your preaching. I call on every worship leader hearing this message to put the cross back at the center of our songs. I call on every songwriter hearing this message to put the cross back at the center of our songwriting. There are thousands of songs on the cross yet to be written. Give them to us. I call on every believer hearing my voice today to put the cross back at the center of your heart. The cross is the wisdom of God. Make it your wisdom as well. When I'm suffering, I just go back to the cross. When I don't know how to process my pain levels, I just go back to the cross. When I don't know how to make sense of my journey, I just go back to the cross. When I can't figure out my path, I just go back to the cross. Whenever I hear that ancient accusation he's withholding from you, I just go back to the cross. I don't know if you've ever heard that one. It's actually one of his favorite accusations. The enemy's been using this one on us ever since the Garden of Eden, when he said to Eve, God is withholding from you the fruit that would make you everything you could be. And now the enemy is still using that one, Jeff. He's still using it on us as much today as he did back then. Now, here's the way that accusation comes to me personally. He could heal you, but he's withholding from you the healing that would make you everything you could be. And whenever I hear that ancient accusation, I just go back to the cross, because the cross nails that accusation. When I look at the cross, I'm not seeing a God withholding from me. I'm seeing a God with a nail in his hand, a nail in his hand, a nail through his feet, who stands on the nail, spreads his arms, and says to me today, I love you with my heart. I give you my soul. I give you my flesh. I give you my mind. I give you my strength. I give you my last drop of blood. I give you my last breath. And when I'm looking at the cross, I'm not looking at a God who's withholding from me. I'm looking at a God who's giving me his everything. I'm looking at a God. I'm looking at a God who's giving me his best. And now, because he's given me his everything, I've got the courage to give him my everything. And now I can stand on my nail, spread my arms, and say to my beloved today, I love you with all my heart. I love you with all my mind. I love you with all my soul. I love you with all my strength. I love you with all my time. I love you with all my treasures. I love you with all my talents. I love you with everything that I am. And today, I am his, and he is mine. And if he hasn't healed me yet, it's because he knows how to write the story better than I do. I close with this scripture, Mark chapter 15, verse 43. Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went into Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. If we have that scripture, it's Mark 15, 43. They'll find it for us. There we go. This scripture says that Joseph, it says, coming and taking courage, asked for the body of Jesus. Now here's the backstory. Joseph of Arimathea was a prominent member of the Sanhedrin. That was the ruling group, 70 members that ruled the Jewish world. And so he was in the upper echelons, the upper class of his. I mean, he was a winner in his career, if you know what I mean. But anybody that went public with their faith in Jesus of Nazareth was out with the Sanhedrin. And if Joseph of Arimathea had gone public with his faith, he would have been out. He would have lost his place in the Sanhedrin. He would have lost his place in society. He would have lost his financial income stream. He would have lost almost everything by going public. And so Joseph of Arimathea had a private belief in Jesus of Nazareth, but he did not go public with it. He held it to himself privately and quietly. But when he looked at the cross of Jesus Christ and saw the extravagance, when he saw the extremity, when he saw what Jesus did on that cross, something inside of him changed, and he found the courage to go public with his faith, because the cross gives you courage. And if you've seen the cross today, it'll put courage in your soul that one who has been quiet and private in their faith will look at the cross and go public and declare, my loyalty is to the cross of Jesus Christ. Bob, I stand before you today as a man loyal to only one thing, because there's a day coming when there's only one thing that's going to be strong enough to hold my loyalty, and that is the cross of Jesus Christ. Nothing else can hold your heart in the end times except the cross of Jesus Christ. And I've sworn my heart to the cross of Jesus. And I want to ask a question this morning. I want to give an opportunity. If there's anyone here today, as I have preached on the cross, and you have looked in a new way at the crucified Lamb of God, Jesus of Nazareth, who took it on that cross, hated his life, laid down his life because of love for you. If there's anyone in the house today that you have had a quiet faith, you've had a private faith, But you have never stood in the midst of a congregation like this, come to an altar like this, and publicly declared, I am with the cross of Jesus Christ. If you have never done that, I now want to give you the opportunity of a lifetime to gather your courage, get your legs under you right now, and with everybody else seated and watching, stand up from your place, walk across the people that are blocking your access to the aisle, and join my sister here in the front and declare publicly, my loyalty is to the cross of Jesus Christ. You are welcome to join these two that are making a public statement of loyalty today to the cross of Jesus Christ. Anyone else? No more will I be private. No more will this be a personal, silent, private belief in my heart. For the first time in a public context, I am going public. My heart belongs to the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask for someone to come and stand with this brother, please, a brother with this brother, and a sister with this sister. If any family or friends have come today to the house with these, I would invite you to come and just stand with them and join them. Would you extend your hands to these this morning, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this brother and this sister that have made a first time ever stand of of loyalty in a public context with everyone watching. Lord, I think that if CNN had their cameras here today, they would have taken the same stand to tell the world, my heart and loyalty is to the cross of Jesus Christ. And now we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would seal what you are doing in their hearts by your power. Seal to them today the affections of God. Let them know, Jesus, that you are saying to them today, I will never forget this. And we're asking now that the Holy Spirit would guard them and keep them and preserve them until the day that you return. Amen. God bless you. And our pastors will have a visit with you after the service. Now, I want to give an opportunity for everyone in the house. You have not been in the category I just invited. You have made in the past a public statement of loyalty to Jesus Christ. I want to give you an opportunity to renew that covenant as we come now to the table of the Lord. Ushers, would you come, please, and come and serve us. I'm going to ask the ushers that are serving us, come and just begin to distribute. As the ushers come, I'm going to ask, and Dave, I don't need any music just yet, thank you. As the ushers serve you, I'm going to ask you to take a cup, take a piece of bread, hold on to it, and we will all receive together in just a moment. Thank you, John. Take a cup, take a piece of bread, hold on to it, and we will all receive together. And during these moments of quiet, while we are being served, I invite you to ask this question. What does this word mean to me today? Save your life, you'll lose it. lose your life, you'll find it. What does that word mean to you today? It's a word from Jesus directly to your life right now. Hate your life, and you will gain it for eternal life. What does this mean for me now, today, Lord Jesus? You are saying to me, hate my life, lose my life, that I might gain it for eternal life. This word applies to every person in this house today. I don't care what your life situation. It's relevant to every one of us right now where we're living. Save your life, you'll lose it. Lose your life, you'll gain it for eternal life. What we are about to receive today is a covenant meal. It's a loyalty meal. It's saying to the Lord Jesus, you gave your body for me. I give my body for you. You gave your blood for me. I give my blood for you. And I invite you, as you take of this bread this morning, to make it again your loyalty to the cross of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you gave your body for us and then gave us this meal that we might celebrate. Thank you, Abba, for the gift of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the death that we might have eternal life. And today, we do not love our lives even unto death. I lose my life that I might gain it. I hate my life that I might find it for everlasting life. And I take this bread today, Lord Jesus, as the token of our loyalty covenant. I give you my heart again today. Eat it in remembrance of him. Would you take the cup? You might want to even lift it a little bit, because Scripture says, I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. As you take of the cup this morning, here's what I invite you to covenant in your heart. Jesus, I'm putting the cross back at the center of my language. I'm putting the cross back at the center of my songs. I'm putting the cross back at the center of my heart. I'm putting the cross back at the center of my witness. Beloved, when you're talking to your coworkers, when you're talking to your friends, talk about the cross. Talk about the wounds. Talk about the torment. Talk about the horror. It's our glory. It's our boast. And I covenant again with this meal, because it is a covenant meal. He supplies the blood. Lord Jesus, I take up the cup of salvation today. And in my heart, as I give thanks for this cup, I'm just saying again, Lord, I put the cross at the center of my language, my witness, and my affection. Drink it in remembrance of him. I invite you just to open your hands to the Lord as I speak a blessing over your life now. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. The cross is the wisdom of God. Make it your wisdom as well. God bless you. Thank you.
Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. Behold him. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood, my life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood. My Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God. And oh precious, and oh precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other founts I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lift it up. And oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. So precious. And singing this chorus, true life. I finally found true life at the cross. Lift it up. I finally found true life. I finally found true life. I finally found the cross. True life. found true life at the cross, Jesus.
Thank you, Father. I think that's an appropriate way to bring this service to a conclusion. You take the message with you, obviously, and it'll continue to work in you. But how do you know you've found true life? When you come to the cross and you meet Jesus, that's real life, that's true life. God bless you as you go. How many of you are carrying a fresh message to share with your friends, your neighbors? A fresh word of encouragement to carry from this place as you go. God bless you. Be richly blessed in God's great love for you. Amen. Give each other a hug as you go. Linger. Stay if you must. For those of you who need to go find your children, collect them. Go collect your children, find them. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of the day.